Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. With the April 1st consolidated election behind us, it's time to look at the results. And our lead story in this week's Ford County Chronicle, breezing to victory, Gibson City's Dickey, Loda Zalliker, Piper City's Orr easily win mayor terms. By overwhelming majorities, voters in Loda selected John Zalliker as their new village president, while those in Gibson City and Piper City retained Dan Dickey and Jeff Orr as their respective mayors in the April 1st consolidated election, which also saw Christine Johnson join three incumbents in winning a term on the Paxton-Buckley Loda School Board. In other contested races, voters re-elected Duane Saunders and William Brocate as highway commissioners for Patton and Dix Townships, respectively, along with Larry Sutton as a Loda Fire Protection District trustee and Fred Magers as the multi-township assessor for Patton and Button Townships. Also settled were contested races for seats on the Elliott and Loda Village boards. The voter turnout was 23.19% in Ford County, where 2,200 of the 9,487 registered voters cast a ballot, and 25.22% in Iroquois County, where 4,679 of 18,555 registered voters cast a ballot. In Ford County, County Clerk and Recorder Amy Frederick estimated that six or seven mail ballots have not yet been returned. In Iroquois County, there were still 10 outstanding mail ballots in the village of Loda, 70 for the precinct of Loda and 28 for the precinct of Artesia. Any mail ballots postmarked by April 1st will be counted on Tuesday, April 15th. Now for a little more detail. In Gibson City, Dan Dickey was elected to his sixth straight four-year term as mayor, breezing to victory over challenger Sarah Sarantakos via a 475-137 vote margin, 77.6%, 22.4%. Sarantakos, who has served for 2 years as an alderman for Ward 1 and previously served as deputy city clerk, was vying for the first time for the city's top leadership post. I am very grateful and humbled by the support of our residents and look forward to serving our community for 4 more years, Dickey said. We have a lot of ongoing projects and new projects on the drawing board, and I plan to work with city council members to see them through. In Piper City, Piper City Village President Jeff Orr easily defeated challenger Stephen Bukowski in the April 1st election, doubling Bukowski's vote total 120-60, breeze to another four-year term. And in Loda, elected to replace Carol Arsenault as village president, was John Zalliker, who received 41 votes, 48.2% of the 85 votes cast. Between the four candidates, defeated were Don J.R. Tasek with 25 votes, Brianna Coffey with 19 votes, and Teresa Reck, currently a village trustee, with 0. On the PBL school board, in a five-way race for 4 seats on the Paxton-Buckley-Loda school board, newcomer Christine Johnson of Paxton, who was employed as a director of finance for Rantoul School District 13 and previously worked for 9 years as a bookkeeper in the PBL unit office, was joined by three incumbents, Jason Rust of Buckley, Don Batchold of Paxton, and Chris Launchen of Paxton in winning election. Defeated was Jason Dirks of Paxton, a member of the board for 6 years. In Ford, Iroquois, and Champaign counties, Lotion garnered 891 votes, followed by Russ with 793, Johnson with 742, Batchtold with 690, and Dirks with 619. In Ford County, Lotion led with 656 votes, Russ with 565, Johnson with 535, Bachtold with 502, and Dirks with 454. In Iroquois County, Lotion led again with 223 votes, followed by Russ with 216, Johnson with 201, Bachtold with 178, and Dirks with 158. In Champaign County, Rust and Lotion each received 12 votes, followed by Bachtold with 10, Dirks with 7, and Johnson with 6. Multi-Township Assessor. Fred Magers defeated Delbert Bruins in the race for Multi-Township Assessor for Patton and Button Townships in the Paxton area. Magers received 448 votes, 283 for Bruins, 61.3% compared with 38.7%. In Dix Township, William Brocate claimed 55.5% of the vote, 91-73, to defeat challenger Morgan Hoffman in the race for Highway Commissioner. And in Patton Township, Dwayne Sanders of Rural Paxton won re-election as Highway Commissioner, easily defeating Jason Miles of Rural Paxton via a 442-260 vote margin. Also in Patton Township, elected after running unopposed, were Pam Saunders as clerk, Michael Anderson, Ronald Lance, and Michael White as trustees. In a contested race for a Lota Fire Protection District trustee position, Larry Sutton defeated Jacob Wise via a 136-64 vote margin. Sutton had 123 votes to Wise's 58 in Iroquois County and 13 votes to Wise's 6 in Ford County to win re-election. In Elliott, winning election to a two-year term on the Elliott Village Board over incumbent Linda Holtzclaw was newcomer Jack Huppert, via a 38-28 margin. For the Gibson City Melvin Sibley School Board, winning election to four available seats, currently held by Phil Whitehouse, Adam Musman, Kenna McCall, and Sarah Lutterby, were Whitehouse the board's presidents, along with McCall, Lutterby, and newcomer Mitchell Heat. Musman did not file for re-election. For the Tri-Point School Board, winning elections to four-year terms were incumbent Eric Raymond, Sherry Smolkovich, Jason Angus, and Terrence Hughes, while newcomer Sean Platts won election to a two-year unexpired term with incumbent Michael Berry not seeking re-election to the seat. All were unopposed. In Paxton, Bill Ingold won election to a sixth consecutive four-year term as mayor. Also victorious in unopposed re-election bids were Eric Evans as Ward 1 Alderman, Joe Reinhardt as Ward 2 Alderman, and Matt Greenberg as Ward 3 Alderman, and Christy Larson as Ward 4 Alderman. There were no candidates for city clerk. In Melvin, Austin Fancher won re-election to another four-year term as village president, while Jeff Glasscock won election to another 4 years as village clerk. Also, Amber Hoffman, Alan Baker, and Edward Miller won re-election to four-year terms as village trustees, with fellow incumbent Tyler Pollard winning a two-year term as a trustees. No candidate ran for an additional two-year trustee seat currently held by Lane Duringer. In Sibley, winning election while running unopposed were Jim Kearney as village president, Joni Bruckner as treasurer, and Greg Brucker and Aaron Brittner as village trustees. No candidates ran for the seats currently held by village clerk Laura Peeler and trustee Tim Peeler. And in Campton, winning election as village president was Donald Donath English Jr. The current village president, Richard Von Quaylen, was elected to a two-year term as a village trustee. Winning election to a four available four-year trustees terms were incumbents David Kelly Sr., Anthony Rogers, and Catherine Cox, and newcomer Brenda Davies. Not filing for re-election was trustee Billy Bridger. Matt Vaughn won another term as village president in Roberts. There were no contested races in Buckley, where Evan Scott Shockley was elected to another term as village president, J.C. Jim Biggs was re-elected as village clerk, and Keith Hartke, Krisha Killian, and Becky Weisenbarn were re-elected as village trustees. In Gilman, Rick Thiesfield won re-election as mayor, Wendy Kraft as city clerk, Michael McGeehy as Ward 1 alderman, and John Smith as Ward 3 alderman, with no candidate running for Ward 2 alderman. All were unopposed. In Cisna Park, Chad Verkler won election as village president, Valerie Danhill as village clerk, and Jacob Marquez and Kyle Rust as village trustees. All were unopposed. Also unopposed in Onarga, Shane Coulter won election as village president, Yesenia Solano as village clerk, and Holly Zirkel, William Hollingsworth, and Oscar Camargo Barbosa as village trustees. In Thawville, Brenda Hildebrand won election as village president, Stephanie Petrol as village clerk, and Robert Lang, Sean Faust, and Rachel Zick as village trustees. In Ludlow, elected to 4-year term as village trustees were John Curtis, William Bina, Thomas Fultz, with Tharla Palumbo and Karen Shedd elected to 2-year trustee terms. In Brenton Township, elected after running unopposed, were Michael Weston as supervisor, Derek Hay as clerk, Phil Richardson as highway commissioner, and Jeff Reby, Roger Wyckoff, Jim Boomgarden, and David Carpenter as trustees. In the interest of time, we're going to end our election results right there and return to the front page with a story from the GCMS School Board. Teacher coach placed on paid leave among probe into misconduct. District's legal counsel, police continue to look into accusations. Gibson City. After a nearly 2.5-hour closed session Thursday night, the Gibson City Melvin Sibley School Board voted 7-0 to uphold Jeremy Darnell's decision to place 8th grade math teacher and boys basketball coach Robbie Dinkins, who is also the head coach of the Fisher/GCMS high school soccer team, on paid administrative leave, pending the conclusion of ongoing investigations by police and school district legal counsel into alleged misconduct, including inappropriate communication with students. Darnell placed Dinkins on paid administrative leave on Monday, March 31st, a week after a student's parent showed concerning text messages between their child and Dinkins to GCMS middle school principal Kent Nash, who subsequently informed Darnell, according to a resolution approved by the board during Thursday night's special meeting. As of Friday, Dinkins had not been arrested or charged with any crime. Darnell said he was informed on Wednesday, April 2nd, the Gibson City Police had served a warrant on Dinkins for his electronic devices, and Police Chief Adam Rosendahl confirmed an ongoing investigation by his police department. Gibson City Police Officer Jacob Horsch was among the 24 attendees at Thursday's board meeting at the unit office, but he left once the board entered closed session for the next 2 hours and 21 minutes. In addition to the ongoing police investigation, Attorney Stephanie Jones of the Crea Busek Law Firm continues to investigate the matter on the school district's behalf. According to the resolution approved by the board, it is the desire of the board that Dinkins remain on paid administrative leave through at least the conclusion of Jones's investigation, if not the conclusion of the police investigation. On Friday, Darnell said he expects Jones' investigation to be completed and a report finalized by the board's April 23rd meeting, when its findings will be reviewed to determine next steps. As for the police investigation, Darnell said he did not know the expected time frame. According to the resolution, Dinkins has cooperated with the school district's investigation. As of Friday, Dinkins had not yet responded to a request for comment from the Ford County Chronicle. While school district officials have not released many details of Dinkins' alleged misconduct, they provided a detailed timeline of what has happened since receiving the initial complaint on Monday, March 24th. According to the board's resolution, on Monday, March 24th, Nash communicated the allegations to Darnell and together they determined that an immediate conversation with Dinkins was necessary. Nash then directed Dinkins to meet with him first thing in the morning and refrain from using his personal device to communicate with any students. The middle school union representative was also notified. After meeting with Dinkins on Tuesday, March 25th, Darnell shared information about the allegations with school board president Phil Whitehouse. Based on the totality of the information they had at the time, including the parents' allegations and Dinkins' response, Darnell and Whitehouse determined that more information and advice from legal counsel was needed before placing Dinkins on administrative leave. Later, on Tuesday, March 25th, Darnell spoke with the school district's legal counsel and continued his own investigation, meeting with other students and families before concluding that the additional information he had at that time did not indicate a need to place Dinkins on leave. That same day, Darnell reported all the information he had to the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, which opted not to open an investigation. As Darnell continued his investigation on Wednesday, March 26th, the parents who provided the initial information to Nash filed a formal complaint, requested that an outside investigator look into the allegations. Darnell then spoke with legal counsel and asked that an independent investigator be assigned. At that time, Jones was appointed as investigator. The board then received a briefing on the allegations and Darnell's investigation, as well as the request for an independent investigation. On Thursday, March 27th, Darnell asked that Dinkins come before school to the unit office, where the decision was made that Dinkins would extend an already scheduled medical leave for March 28th to include March 27th. Darnell continued to speak with families that day as well. On Friday, March 28th, the complainant requested an urgent meeting with Darnell, indicating that Dinkins had violated the directive not to contact students. Upon investigation, Darnell determined that Dinkins had called a student from a school phone, which did not violate the directive. Dinkins was reminded not to contact students from non-school-related platforms. On Sunday, March 30th, Darnell was informed that the complainants filed a police report alleging misconduct by Dinkins. Police told Darnell that information not originally shared with the school district was shared with the police. That same day, Darnell received a second complaint from parents seeking an independent investigation. On Tuesday, April 1st, one day after Darnell placed Dinkins on paid administrative leave, Jones initiated her investigation, interviewing both complainants and other witnesses. Both complainants brought forth documentation that was not previously provided. The new information indicated unprofessional conduct, but did not implicate state or federal sexual misconduct laws. Following the investigation by Jones, she and Darnell determined that a special board meeting would be warranted to inform the board of the new information about unprofessional conduct that had been obtained. Darnell reported all of the new information to the DCFS, which again declined to open an investigation. Before the board entered into closed session during Thursday's special meeting, Gibson City resident Sarah Powell spoke to the board as a concerned parent. Powell said she contacted Darnell on Wednesday, April 2nd, to express concerns about a lack of communication to parents and to request transparency on how the investigation was being handled. In response, I was given a general statement about confidentiality and legal obligations with no direct answer to my key concerns, which were whether the individual in question is still in contact with students, what specific steps are being taken to ensure student safety, and why no communication has been issued to parents regarding this situation. This is not about whether you guys have finished an investigation or anything like that. This is about communication to the parents. This is a serious allegation. Whether it's true or not, we should have been notified. I understand confidentiality laws and a general statement reassuring parents that student safety is a priority and outlining inappropriate action is both necessary and expected. So I'm asking the school board to take the following steps. Issue a general statement to parents acknowledging the situation and reassuring us that appropriate action is being taken, clearly outlining safety measures in place to prevent further incidents, including not allowing staff to contact children via text or social media. Establish a communication protocol for informing parents about serious concerns affecting students, and ensuring that all investigations involving staff misconduct follow a transparent process with appropriate oversight. The safety of our children should not be a question, nor should parents be left to rely on rumors for critical information. So I'm asking the board to take immediate action to restore trust and ensure that families are kept informed in matters that directly impact our children. Todd Heath, a high school track and field coach at Fisher and youth soccer coach, spoke to the board Thursday as well. Heath is the father of Logan Heath, a member of Dinkins Fisher GCMS high school soccer team for 4 seasons. He can definitely vouch he never felt more important than how coach made him feel, Todd Heath said. For that, I am truly thankful, because as a father, it helped give him a role model outside of the home, and I watched my kid grow into the young man he is today. Over 7 years as head coach of the Bunnies, Dinkins has posted a 116-win, 24-loss, 9-tie record, including an IHSA Class 1A Round of 16 postseason appearance last fall. We, as a soccer family, value and trust everything about Coach Dinkins, Todd Heath said. I feel like he instilled a lot of values in our kids, leadership and different traits. Our kids looked up to him. There is no doubt I would let them go and bond as a group because he would make sure they were like family and they worked together as a family. What I saw him do with this program is bring them up to being young adults that they are, being responsible for their actions and concentrating on things outside of the program, but holding them accountable for everything they did. I watched him bring this program up and bring 2 schools together. He made sure that kids in both schools had every opportunity to be successful and to show that he cared about every one of those kids. On Friday, the board's resolution was posted on the district's website. In a letter to GCMS families, Darnell encouraged parents to read it. I apologize that such an unsettling circumstance is occurring in our system, Darnell said. We will continue to work to ensure the safety and well-being of our students every day. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 9th. Joyce Ann Chin, Kingston, Jamaica. Joyce Ann Chin, 78, of Kingston, Jamaica, formerly of Cisna Park, died Saturday, March 22nd at her residence. There will be no funeral services. Bernice A. Clemson, Marysville, Ohio. Bernice Anderson Clemson, formerly of Gibson City, died Wednesday, March 19th in Marysville, Ohio. A celebration of her life service with the Reverend Doug Lee officiating will be at 2 p.m. Monday, April 28th at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, where visitation will begin at 1 o'clock. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Living Word Church in Roberts. Carla A. DeBree, Gilman. Carla A. DeBree, 82, of Gilman, died Wednesday, April 2nd at Iroquois Resident Home in Watseka. Funeral services were held Tuesday, April 8th, officiated by the Reverend Dr. Pete Heinrich. Burial followed at Gilman Cemetery in Gilman. Memorials may be made to the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Gilman or the Gilman American Legion Auxiliary. Nelvie Joan Fremmel, Buckley. Nelvie Joan Fremmel, 84, of Buckley, formerly of Mokena, died at 7:12 p.m. Wednesday, April 2nd at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. A private celebration of life will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the Salvation Army. Christina Grayson, San Diego, California. Christina Tina Grayson, 78, of San Diego, California, formerly of Paxton, died at 3:30 a.m. Friday, April 4th, at Palomar Medical Center in Poway, California. She was cremated, and a celebration of life will be at St. Joseph's Cathedral in San Diego, California. Leela J. Hulls, Flatville. Leela J. Hulls, 92, of Flatville, died at 2:58 p.m. Friday, April 4th, at Country Healthcare and Rehab in Gifford. Funeral services were held Thursday, April 10th, at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Flatville, with the Reverend Scott Smith officiating. Burial followed at Hull Cemetery in Gifford. Memorials may be made to the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Flatville or Country Healthcare and Rehab in Gifford. Eldon C. Johnson, Paxton. Eldon Christian Johnson, 94, of Paxton, died at 7 p.m. Thursday, April 3rd, at his home in Paxton. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 15th, at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton, and funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, April 16th, at the Pontopidian Lutheran Church in Elliott. In lieu of flowers, family requests donations be made to the Pontopidian Lutheran Church. John C. Lyon, Quincy. John C. Lyon, 79, of Quincy, formerly of Lake Bluff, a graduate of Roberts Thawville High School, died at 5:02 a.m. Tuesday, April 1st, at his home. Funeral services were held Tuesday, April 8th, at the Hanson Spear Funeral Home in Quincy, with the Reverend Nat Keelan officiating. Burial followed in the Quincy Memorial Park in Quincy. Memorial donations may be made to Samaritan's Purse. Gerard Boo Miller, Gibson City. Gerard Edward Boo Miller, 59, of Gibson City, formerly of Chicago, died at 10:02 p.m. Thursday, April 3rd, at his home. A Celebration of Life memorial service will be from 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday, April 12th, at New Beginnings Christian Fellowship in Gibson City. Those attending are asked to wear apparel of the Chicago White Sox, Chicago Bears, or Dallas Cowboys. Lisa Ann Miller, Gilman. Lisa Ann Miller, 56, of Gilman, died Thursday, April 3rd, at her residence. A private memorial service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the Lisa Miller Memorial Fund for a local cancer support group. Contributions can be sent in care of the Knapp Funeral Home in Watseka. Alvin D. Schluter, Urbana. Alvin D. Schluter, 76, of Urbana, died at 4:13 a.m. Wednesday, April 2nd, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Monday, April 7th, at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Gifford, with the Reverend Gary Maxwell officiating. Burial followed at Cotman Cemetery, with military honors accorded by the Royal American Legion Post 996. Memorials may be made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Gifford or Cotman Cemetery. Geraldine A. Schult, Buckley. Geraldine A. Jerry Schult, 100, of Buckley, died at 5:59 a.m. Sunday, April 6th, at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. Funeral services were held at noon Friday, April 11th, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with the Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial followed in St. John's Cemetery in Buckley. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church, Christ Lutheran High School in Buckley, or an organization of the donor's choice. Charles Wood, Paxton. Charles Charlie Wood of Paxton died at 11:13 a.m. Tuesday, April 1st, at his home.